If you love his appearing, you will be separated unto him. Your love will be undivided, and your loyalty and purpose undaunted.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
In looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, and we've been seeking to identify the essence of Christian service. There are certain passages in the Bible where we have a certain distillation of biblical principles with respect to a given subject. I believe that verses 1 to 7, 1 to 6 in particular of 2 Timothy chapter 2 are a distillation, a distilled version, a concentrated portion of Paul's view of what it means to be a servant of God. He gives in verse 1 the qualification of a servant. He must be a son. Thou therefore my son. He was Paul's son only in the sense that he became the son of God, and Paul was the human agent that had been used to introduce him to that relationship. He was a son of God. He must be a son. You can never serve God until you're joined to the family, until you've been born again, until you've been placed within the framework of the family. He was a son. The basic qualification of a servant, he must be a son, and then he must be strong. The proposition there is be strong. The principle is in the grace. The personality is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we have in verse 1 the qualification of a servant. We have in verse 2 the occupation of a servant, and that is the preservation and the transmission of God's truth. And he defines for us very precisely God's truth in verse 2. And that's the occupation of a servant. That's your great occupation and mine, the preservation of God's truth. We need to protect it. And then we need to propagate it, transmit it to those who have need of it. We need to be involved in the evangelistic process. We need to be aware of our responsibility to share with those in need the great message of the gospel. Pass it on to others also. And then the illustration of a servant is given in verses 3 to 7. And he gives to us a threefold illustration. He speaks first of a soldier in verses 3 and 4. And he gives the illustration of a soldier. And he says that a soldier must be willing to do three things. He must be willing to suffer, endure hardness. He must be willing to separate. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, this bios, this biological life, this life which revolves around physical things, purely physical things. He must invest himself in the spiritual things, the zoe, the spiritual things, the eternal zoe. So he must be willing to suffer, endure hardness. He must be willing to separate. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Instead, he is separate from them. And then he must be willing to serve, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a servant. There are two basic ways in which we please God. One in our salvation, Hebrews 11:6. Two in our separation, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. One in our salvation. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I think that's saving faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. There must be salvation. And then two in our separation. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So there's the illustration of a soldier. A soldier is one who is willing to suffer, to separate, and to serve. And that's a beautiful metaphor identifying for us as Christians the essence of Christian service. The second illustration is in verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, literally compete in the games or compete as an athlete, yet is he not crowned. He does not receive the prize. Yet is he not crowned. He does not receive the Stephanos, the crown or the prize that was customarily and characteristically given out at the end of athletic competition in the Greek Olympics if you happen to win. Yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, I don't know what you see as you look at that verse, but I see three things that are important in terms of this metaphor for spiritual service, spiritual Christian service. As I look at that verse, there are three significant items which stand out regarding the athlete. Here they are. One, there is rigor. Again, there's hard work involved. Strictness, severity of life, there is rigor. The second thing I see is there is regulation. He must strive lawfully. Athlein nomenos, according to the law. The third thing I see is there is reward. He can enjoy the benefits of the prize. There is a prize to be received. Salvation is never a prize. Understand that. Salvation is never a reward. We're not rewarded with salvation. We're given that. It's a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. A gift cannot be earned. It can only be received. If you've not received it, this powerful, precious gift of salvation, this preservation from destruction, this deliverance and rescue from all that can ruin your life here and now and in the hereafter, it's available to you if you'll receive it by receiving Christ. But having received it, there is a reward to be earned. We can be crowned. Someday we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, did you know that Christians are subjected to a threefold judgment? One, Christians are judged as sinners. This judgment is past. My sin and your sin has already been condemned and punished. Do you know where? At the cross. My sin and yours has already been judged and punished in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, that is, the suffering and the sorrow, muser is that Hebrew word, the suffering and the sorrow, which was essential to bring peace down into your life and to mine, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, his welts, his bloodless wounds, the beating that he endured, with his stripes, we are healed. So Paul says in the New Testament, there is therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus Christ bore their condemnation. We're judged as sinners, and our sin was judged already, has been judged already at the cross. Christians are judged as sinners. Christians are also judged as sons. That's a present judgment. It occurs in the crises of life. So the scripture says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son. Christians are judged as sons and as daughters. They're judged as sons. That's present in the crises of life. And finally, they're judged as servants. What kind of servants were we? That's our subject in 2 Timothy 2. We're judged as servants. This judgment is future at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be that day of reckoning. It will not determine whether or not we have a right to the kingdom of God. That was settled long ago when we accepted Christ as our Savior, but it will determine our rank in the kingdom. It's possible to suffer loss in terms of rank in the kingdom. It's possible to be rewarded or honored. There can be those crowns. Did you know in the Bible there are five crowns? Let me give you the outline. There's too much to preach here, but let me give you the outline. There are five crowns. There is the servant's crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25. Every man that striveth for the mastery, same figure as in 2 Timothy 2, every man that striveth for the mastery, competes in the game, is temperate or self-disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. He's talking about a victorious servant of God who's been faithful to the principles of the gospel and has endured the sacrifices of self-discipline in order to serve God effectively. There's the servant's crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25. You know there's the separatist crown? It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Two verses later, he speaks of Demas, who did not love his appearing, but he loved this present world. Did you know that you cannot love his appearing and love this world at the same time? If you love his appearing, you will be separated unto him. Your love will be undivided, and your loyalty and purpose undaunted as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot love this, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this world at the same moment. Many of us believe in his appearing. Do we love it? Do we cherish it? Do we look forward to his coming? If we do, we'll be separatists. We'll be separated from the world unto him. Then there is the soul winner's crown. For what is your hope, or what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. Paul says, you Thessalonians are our crown of rejoicing. We led you to Christ. You will be a crown of rejoicing for us. There is that crown which is awarded those who faithfully involve themselves in the evangelistic process. And God keeps very close and precise records. It's not only those who reap the harvest that will receive this crown, but those who have planted and those who have watered along the way. And then there is the shepherd's crown. 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4. The elders, the pastors which are among you, I exhort, feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof, being examples to the flock. Why? When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4. I want to tell you that is a continuing source of motivation to me personally, to be a faithful, vital, caring, loving, biblical servant of God in shepherding the flock. There is a shepherd's crown. And finally, there is a sufferer's crown. There may be some of you suffering special pressures and hardships that face you. Blessed is the man that endureth testing, literally. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James 1, verse 12. That is the crown awarded to all those who have joyfully and lovingly endured persecution, testing, and even death for the Master's sake. Now here are three illustrations, three significant points from the metaphor of a servant, from the metaphor of an athlete as to what it means to be a servant of God. There is to be rigor. Do you understand that? There is to be regulation. Are you running the race according to the rules? Are you listening to what God says? Are you sensitive to the moral imperatives? Do you understand the commands of Jesus Christ? Have you violated them? Have you been insensitive to them? Do you pick and choose the ones you want and the ones you don't want? What are those areas at this very moment in your life, Christian servant, that are out from under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ, and you know it? There must be rigor. There must be regulation. And then there can be this precious reward. As we stand at the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and these precious crowns, which can become ours, and I think we'll be privileged to give them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, have you relaxed your standards or refused to say no to the pleasures and indulgences of this life? Have you become a spare time Christian, giving to God what's left over after you've satisfied your own desires? Or are you like that professional athlete, the whole time dedication of your life? Have you failed to run the race according to the rules? Do you recognize the distinction between an entrance into God's kingdom and an abundant entrance into God's kingdom? Those precious crowns that can become ours for loyal and faithful, spirit-filled and disciplined service for the Lord Jesus? There may be some here without Christ. You say, Pastor, I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. I have no assurance that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not certain of that. I'm concerned about this. I want you to know, my friend, the Christian's sins were judged at Calvary. Christ was wounded, bruised, chastised, and beaten for the Christian. And that work of Jesus Christ was not only for the Christian, but it was for you. Have you claimed it by faith? Have you brought yourself under the protective covering of the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Are you exempt from the wrath of God and the emptiness of a meaningful life? You can only be as you by faith bring yourself under the protective covering of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He was wounded, he was bruised, chastised, and beaten on the cross so that you could be forgiven.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
And I think Paul means to teach us that the Christian way is not for the man who fears to break sweat. I think Paul means to teach us that the Christian is to be a toiler.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.